Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Now I could read more, but I want to stop deliberately right there because I don't want to go into overtime this morning. I dealt a little bit on last week about some of the things that's impacting prophecy being fulfilled right now. I get a lot of questions about North Korea, a lot of questions about things that's happening in Israel. And if you notice through all of this, I mentioned last week when I read out of Matthew 24, there would be wars, and there are rumors of wars. North Korea is an example of the rumors of war. We're at a stage with them where that there are rumors that war could come about, but it hasn't come about yet because prophecy is coming into line with what God wants. When here in the Old Testament, when Joel prophesied to blow the trumpet, in the book of Numbers, God commanded Moses, he said, I want you to make two silver trumpets. And he said, those two silver trumpets will be used as a call for the assembly. In other words, gather in, come together. And it'll also be used as an alarm or a warning. And he said, when they hear that trumpet, and then there were certain blasts of the trumpet that would tell them what that warning was for, or why they were gathering in, or why they were coming together, or why God called them together. Now, that was Old Testament prophecy. We know that that is fulfilled through the teaching of the Old Testament. The silver trumpets were part of the Feast of Trumpets. The silver trumpets have been a part of their worship. But yet, even though Bible has literal meanings, it also has symbolic or spiritual meanings. Now, you may not agree with what I'm about to say, but just hear me out on it. The two silver trumpets, I believe, prophetically, are also a picture of Israel, one trumpet, and the church, the other trumpet. Why? Why two? Well, two because Old Testament, New Testament. Two because God's chosen people and also the church. All Bible prophecy hinges on two things. The country, the nation of Israel and their inheritance, and the church of the living God. Now, I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about the church. Now, when you get to Joel, here we are with the coming of the Lord at hand. Notice he says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Not trumpets. The trumpet. One trumpet is sounding. Not two. Can I tell you something? The attack of the devil and the attack of the spirit of Antichrist before the coming of the Lord will focus on two things. Israel as a nation and the church. Because the church and Israel both serve as God's trumpets of warning to people. So if somehow he can get the church to lose its power and influence, and if he can get all of the media attention drawn away from Israel, and all of a sudden Israel become an enemy of all the world, until no longer are they looked at and focused upon concerning biblical things, guess what? People get no warning, and people with no warning go right on their way, and they die lost without Jesus Christ. And what he's trying to tell us as a church in this age is that it is time for the church to wake up and say, now the rest of the world may make their decision to go other ways and lose their ability to be the warning. But as a church, we can say we're not going to stop. We're going to keep warning others. We're going to keep telling others. We're going to keep doing all that we can because we don't want to lose our voice and tell the world that Jesus is coming again. You say, well, preacher, that won't happen. Really? Really? A lot of you are on social media. I was contacted by a friend from Israel, and this week, he said, really pray. He, along with some of the other Messianic Jews, are voices of prophecy from the land of Israel. One of the key figures, key players in social media this past week has trialed fake news buttons. So basically what that means is if they are on social media getting a message out, and if you're listening to that, or you're watching that, or you're reading that, you'll have the right to vote on that to say that's fake news, and they pull you. So they lose their voice on social media. Now here's the problem. He went on. He went on and warned there was going to be an attack of Syria on Syria from Israel. He warned that. He knew that. He's in the northern part of Israel. He warned that. They all started clicking. Fake news, fake news, fake news. By the way, you do know that Israel bombed Syria, didn't you? September the 7th, 10 days ago. He mentioned that beforehand. During the drill is when it took place. Why? Because Israel's not like America. They don't sit around on their hands and say, oh my, if we do that, then we'll lose cheap products from all over the world. And we're worried about what the rest of the world will do. And we're biting our nails in America that used to be the greatest propagander of the gospel of Jesus Christ has lost its voice and lost its power. And now we sit idly watching other nations tell us what to do and when to do it because we have lost our place in the world. But you hear me and hear me right. Israel doesn't ask for anybody's permission for anything. They respect the UN, but they will do what they have to do to defend their nation and to go against those that are coming against them. They know that with the fall of ISIS, it has now left an open void for now Hezbollah to gain support through Iran coming into Syria and Damascus, and they're starting to build these missiles and nuclear weapons, and they're saying the only thing we can do is to stop them before it ever starts. And I'm sad to say, but America has lost its voice because slowly but surely we have become anti-God and anti-Israel. Now, I need to read you a few things that you need to hear. The Bible tells us in Joel 3:2, the Word of God says that He'll gather all the nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel. You do know that God called Israel His son. It's in your Bible. And He said, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. I hear from America, I've heard it politically now for 20 years, and again, you ought to be more saved than you are anything else. You ought to be more saved than you are. I realize that I know how our system works, but it got to the point, you know, where some people feel like I get a letter from this guy every week that tells me that because I'm not in his political party, I'm of the devil. Well, now I've read this book over, and it doesn't say I have to be a Republican or Democrat to be a Christian. That's not going over well. I better move on. But I've heard it from both sides. I've heard it from independents. Why can't we settle this thing? Why can't we just go in there and on the east side give Palestine a capital? Can I tell you why that can't be? It's not the Palestinians' land. It is Israel's land. God made a covenant with Israel. And God said, I'm going to give Israel that land. They thought that they had overcome that, and I feel sorry. I've got Palestinian friends. I feel sorry for them. I mean, they had occupied that land for years and years and years because Israel had been scattered. And then in 1948, when God brought them back together as a nation, they became a nation as a day, just as prophesied in your Bible. When they became a nation in a day, then all of a sudden they were cast out. Houses that they had, I feel sorry for them. But I can't go contrary to the Word of God. God says, if you take the land of Israel, there's some stern punishment. The whole reason the final battle, Armageddon, will be fought is it is God's judgment on those kings of the east for trying to take land that was covenant land that God had given to Israel. There'll be two major battles that'll be fought. First will be the battle of Ezekiel 38. In that battle, that's where that Gog, you read of Gog and Magog, the leader of Russia, and the Russians will come down. You watch the news reports and you'll hear more and more. I thought when the USSR fell, Russia was done. I mean, that's what they told us politically. Russia's done. It's over. But now you constantly hear of Putin and Russia and what's going on with Russia. Because Russia has invested so much military goods and has such connections with Iran. And now coming again, they come again. Don't you know Iran wants Israel wiped off the face of the earth? See, the Muslims are divided. You've got Sunnis and Shiites, many other factions, but they're even divided themselves. So now suddenly with Syria, you have this battle that's come against it. Now ISIS has become the seedbed for that, and Hezbollah is another terrorist group that's coming against Israel. And this has now left them at a place where they're saying, we want this minority faction, we want to be able to be the caliphate, to usher in the kingdom that is promised through the Muslim religion and the Muslim leader that is to come. See, Muslim is just the Bible. Those that follow the Muslim religion, Islamic religion, and you pray for me because this kind of stuff gets you death threats, but it's true. They are a religion that is a religion of the Antichrist. They don't know it. They don't know it. And now suddenly you follow their patterns. We have a white horse rider. They have a white horse rider. We have a Savior that ascended to heaven. They have a Savior that ascended to heaven. You say, that's not so. You're telling the wrong guy, man. I mean, you can go into the Dome of the Rock and they'll tell you when you get down just like this and you turn your head just like this and you look sideways just right, there's a crevice in the rock. And the Muslims that are there will tell you that is where Muhammad took his flight off this earth. But I can go just across the way, less than a Sabbath day's journey, and there is another mount that's called the Mount of Ascension. And thank God there's a bigger footprint there. For Jesus, long before Muhammad ever came into this world, Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'll come again. And the angel of the Lord stood there and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus, you see, taken from you, shall come again in like manner. In Revelation, there's two white horse riders. One says peace and safety, but he brings a bow and spears, which are weapons of war. The other is the true Lord. He's the one that his vesture's dipped in blood. He is the one that has the writing, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is a matter of deception. We think that we can usher in peace. Now, I want every one of you to look here. There's only one person that has power to bring peace to this world, and that is the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ Himself. The Antichrist will gain his power by promising peace, peace and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh. The stage is being set for all of that. So now we have political leaders that are saying what we ought to do is just divide that land and give them that land. Well, Obadiah 1:15 says, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. All heathen, all nations. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. You know what he's saying? What you've done to my people, I'm going to do for you. You have taken from Israel, and I'm going to take from you. Last week I shared just a little bit about China. I don't have time to go into all of it, but the debt that we owe China, and now they're wanting land. And I know many of you went home and said, "Oh, preacher, I could not believe how much land that China owns." That's just part of it. There's a lot of other foreign countries that now own American soil. Do you know why? Do you know why we're losing that? Obadiah 1:15. I'll tell you exactly why. Because we are trying to take land from Israel. We're telling Israel, "Give up your land. Give up your land." Why don't they just give up their land? Why don't You don't understand. That's the promised covenant of God. You're asking God to break His word. If God breaks His word, we're all doomed, because it's the word of God that gives us our strength and our authority. We have nothing to stand on except the word of God. And God has assured us, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall endure forever. You can't ask the God of covenant to break His own word. So God says this: if you take their land, I'll take yours. And that's what's happening. We're losing farmland. We're losing land. There's even been proposals, talks of us now taking a lot of the nationally owned land to try to pay off debt that we owe to these countries. In particular, China, one of the kings of the east. Jeremiah 12:14 says, "Thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance." In other words, those that touch Israel, which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. "Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out of the house of Judah from among them." In verse 17 he said, "But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation." Israel is the apple of God's eyes. The word apple in the Hebrew, the Hebrews looked at the apple and viewed the apple as the pupil. As the pupil. That's how they looked at it. Here, open your eye up. How about if I just go ahead and punch that?
That would hurt really bad.
That would hurt really bad. Do you know what we're doing as a nation and as a world? We're sticking our finger in the eye of God. And we're saying, "God, who are you? We're in control. We have power. We're the one that's going to be able to take care of all of this." But I've got news for you. God says America may lose its voice, and we are losing our voice. In Indiana, I had a dear preacher friend that I even had to call him back this week to make sure that I heard correctly when he mentioned it. He mentioned the fact that in the county that he's in, there's like 1.5 or 1.75 million people in America. He went there to build a church, to start a church. In that county now, there are so many ungodly people that they have local ordinances that prevent them, you're not allowed by local ordinance, to go in and buy land and turn it into a house of worship, a church. I'm talking about America, people. I thought that we had religious freedom here. Oh, but preacher, they can't do that. Oh, they got around it. They let the ones that were already there, they grandfathered in. Well, how are they doing it? The only way they can get property or place to worship, they have to go to another nonprofit and lease that off of that nonprofit to be able to have a place to worship. Now, let's get this right. If the devil had his way, there'd never be a sermon preached from this pulpit. There'd never be people in the pews. There would never be an invitation given. Do you know how many churches I go into now that they don't even bother to invite people to come to Jesus Christ to be saved? The church has become a religious showboat to make us feel good about ourselves and feel good about the place that we're at. But I'm a revivalist. I'm here to tell you, God's not pleased with America right now, and God's giving warning signs to America right now. Now, and it's time for us to wake up and say, "I can't help what the rest of the world does, but I can't help what I'm doing. I'm going to repent, and I'm going to seek God for revival, and I'm going to get close to God, and I'm going to start caring about the lost and reaching out to others before the church loses its influence completely." It's happening. It's happening. It's here. Oh, but we're America. Last week, two or three of you came up to me and talked to me some about it. I had it in my notes. I didn't get to it. We've now gone through one of the greatest security breaches and hacks that our country has ever experienced with Equifax. 143 million Americans, Social Security number, date of birth, address, other pertinent information was stolen. I'm not making this stuff up. How many of you have heard that? Good, good. Equifax is one of three major companies. There's other companies, but three major companies that does the credit reports for Americans. That's why they had so many Social Security numbers. Social Security started out, the first Social Security cards under Roosevelt in 35. And when they started in 35, they had no idea that Social Security cards would become of such great importance to America. Social Security cards were never started are meant to be your means of identity, but it has slowly become the means of identity. You can't buy a house without a Social Security number. You can't get a job now without a Social Security number. You can't go to college without a Social Security number. Do I need to keep going? Stay with me. On the Today Show this past week, I thought, I cannot believe that the Medianites are actually reporting this. God's using them to report this. You check it out. This week, they had a question. Could Social Security numbers be scrapped? See, now, they're concerned about the fact they've been inundated with millions of America that's calling to freeze that number. The reason that number is so important is because if you go in to do a business transaction, let's say you go somewhere and they have a deal that's there that day and they say, hey, if you take out one of our credit cards, we'll give you 15% off of your purchase. You're buying a big purchase. You maybe have seen them do it. They don't have to do anything, get just a little bit of information from you, your Social Security number. And they call in this number. They call Equifax or the other companies that do it. And within a matter of, I'm not even saying minutes now, seconds, it comes back that they'll give you a temporary card number for their store and you'll have a credit line of so much money. So when you freeze that, you no longer can go in and get that credit report instantly. It freezes that so that would-be thieves would not be able to have access to your credit and then start a false account under your Social Security number. So now they're saying in the 30s, when all of this started, around 35, I think, when all of this started, then none of that was ever intended to be, but it morphed into that. It's now become that. So now we've got a real financial problem because now we've got foreigners owning our land. We've got debt that is uncontrollable, and now they're seizing numbers of people that they can take their credit. So they're already talking about new ways to try to overcome this. Among other things, this is what they're saying. Let's start initially with maybe fingerprint identification, second and third line of authentication and verification of who you really are. You are who you say you are. So you'll have two and three processes to go through. Then maybe fingerprinting. And now with the new iPhones that's coming out with facial recognition, they're saying we'll incorporate that. But I want you to look right here. All of that will fail. All of that will fail. People say, where will America be in end time prophecy? We'll be in trouble. We're already in trouble. No one wants to preach it. No one wants to talk about it. No one wants to say it because we want everyone to set at ease in Zion and to set at ease in the church and say, oh, we're doing what we should do. We give our money and we send our money to somebody else to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're at ease and all we got to do is just sit right where we're at and stay satisfied. And that is where we're at. That is where we're at. I go into revival after revival after revival. When Candy and I married 37 years ago, about a month or 2 months, probably 2 months or three at the most, I went into one revival here in America, one revival. In one service, 100 were saved. One service. I couldn't tell you the last time I was in a meeting where 100 sinners were present, let alone saved. Now you say what you want to, but we're not doing our job. We're not bringing the lost to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living our life to ourselves, we're dying to ourselves, and in the meantime, our loved ones are dying lost without Jesus Christ, and nobody wants to blow the trumpet. Nobody wants to rock the boat. North Korea fired a missile this week over Japan. Last week, that hadn't happened when I preached. This week, they fired a missile over Japan. What did the world do? Can I tell you in a nutshell what they did? A big fat nothing. Because North Korea doesn't care. See, what you've got is you've got people that say, let's reason together. You can't reason with somebody that's insane. Kim Jong-un is a nut. He's crazy. He's crazy because an evil spirit has come upon him. Would you help me preach? When evil spirits come, have you ever seen someone possessed by an evil spirit? You can't reason with them. The only hope you have is to rebuke them in the name of Jesus. That's the hope. That's the hope. Jesus, in His name, the power in Jesus' name. Well, why would you say he's crazy? He detonated a hydrogen bomb. I've read reports now of everything they're trying. We know that it was 6.3 on the scale, the Richter scale, but yet I've tried to see how powerful it was. I've read everything from 17 to 100 times the power of the bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. He detonated it under his own feet. Under the feet of his own people. That's not a smart guy. He's crazy. He's trying to find out what will work. And you mark her down. If he gets a chance, nothing would please him any more than to strap a warhead, nuclear warhead, on a missile and to fly that thing somewhere into American territory and do damage. You said, it will never happen. They said Pearl Harbor would never happen. And it did. They said we'd never lose prayer in school, but it did. They said we'll never abort babies, but we do. It did happen. They'll say they'll never have men marrying men and women marrying women, but it did. Somebody help me preach. Where's the church at? We're laying back in a corner saying, oh, we can't offend people if we don't love everybody. Hey, I can love you, but I don't have to approve of your sin or anybody else's sin. I can tell you the Word of God is sure and steadfast, and we are on the verge of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care if the whole world says He's not coming. Jesus is coming again. I'm blowing the trumpet in Zion. Get ready! Get ready! Get ready! Jesus is coming again! You say, well, who are you? Perfect? No, but Jesus is. But you never tell people, you never tell people that they can get right by approving of the wrong. And that's where we're at. Nobody cares that you can't pray. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Now, I'm going to close with this because the people that's been in this church for 40 years, they know well what I'm about to say. 40 years ago, this church was involved in a play that was based around the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ. They put that play on. I have no idea. Some of you remember how many months you did it? 6 or 7 months. Have any idea how many places you went with it or how many times you put it on? Dozens of times, I'm sure. Churches all over. But I can verify this because I can remember that. I can remember that well. She got saved through that play. Yeah. Thank God you got saved. I'm sure you remember it well. But I'm telling you, all across the land, everywhere, Jesus is coming. Maranatha. Maranatha. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. The Lord is coming again. The Lord is coming again. Jesus is coming. I'm telling you, when they get down to the end of that play, oftentimes, I was in a couple of them I know that invitations weren't even given. People started coming to the front and pouring their heart out to God. Two things were happening. Church people were getting closer to God, and sinner people were getting saved because they sense an urgency. But I'm here to tell you, there has been so much prophecy fulfilled in the past 40 years that I don't have time to share it in a sermon or sermon every week, every year. It would be impossible to tell you all the things that's happened in just the past 40 years. But now we just sit there saying, oh, bless me if you can. If you got a good song, give me your best. If you got a sermon, do what you can. I come in one way and I'm leaving the same way. I come in and didn't bring a sinner with me, and I'm not going to bring one next week. I'm not going to talk to anybody about Jesus all through the next week. I'm going to leave this place and my life be just what it was last week. I want to be consumed in worldly goods and my thoughts in worldly things, not even things that's sinful in and of themselves, but we get more excited over the silliest things. I'm telling you right now, if we were all where we should be with the Lord, when we start thinking about how close we are to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there ought to be a spirit that rises up inside of us and starts to say, glory to God, I'm glad I'm saved and on my way to heaven, and of that day and hour no man knows, but I'm ready. Should Jesus come today, I know that I'm ready.